Let's turn now to bees. Both domesticated and wild, they are under assault. U.S. law requires that gas contain ethanol, which is largely made from corn. So we're taking up a lot of land to grow a lot of corn. But crops we eat are also a problem, as we'll hear. A new study out this week looks at the specific regions that are in danger of losing bees, which is a big deal because bees contribute about $3 billion to agriculture every year. Taylor Ricketts is the director of the Gund Institute for Ecological Economics at the University of Vermont, co-authored that study. So, Taylor, broadly, what did you find?
Yeah, as you said, the decline of pollinators has become a national issue, even highlighted by President Obama in a recent presidential memo. And what our study does is put that problem literally on the map. We show a map of the United States that highlights where these declines are likely to be worst and where that's most likely to affect agriculture.
Okay, so tell us, first of all, I have the map in front of me. We'll put it at hereandnow.org. But I see these big block areas. Which are the areas that have the biggest decline in bees?
Yeah, the areas on the map that people can look at that are in pink and purple are the ones where we see the biggest mismatch between trends in pollinators, so pollinator populations and abundances are going down, against increases in demand for those pollination services, so crops that need pollinators are expanding. So those are places where we call a mismatch in the trends of kind of the supply and demand for pollination.
Right. And where are they?
Yeah, so it's Central Valley of California, the Pacific Northwest, the Northern Midwest, parts of the Mississippi Valley, all for different reasons, different crops, I mean, but all places where wild pollinators, we predict, are declining while demand for pollination services is going up.
And what's the connection? Why would the pollinators be declining when, for instance, you plant more almonds and orchard crops in California?
Yeah, so most of the places we see pollinators declining are where we're intensifying agriculture, and almonds is one example, but there are lots of other ones. And when we intensify agriculture, we take away habitat for bees, not only where they can nest, but also flowers that they can feed on. And often agriculture comes along with pesticides and other chemicals that can reduce populations of bees. So that's why the connection's there.
So you could extrapolate from that, that if I wanted to grow acres and acres of almonds, I should occasionally plant a flower bed in those acres.
You have it exactly right. So obviously almond trees flower, and so for a couple weeks a year, it's just a bonanza for bees, but that's exactly the problem. It's only a couple weeks a year, and bees are active for longer than just the flowering season of any crop, most of them. So one strategy which has been shown to work is to plant in and around your fields other plants that flower at different times of year, just to provide food for bees throughout their summer season.
And by the way, we're talking about wild bees, because farmers do have domesticated bees, if you will, that are trucked from farm to farm so that they can help pollinate. What happens to those bees when the wild bee population declines?
Yeah, that's a great point. It's an important one to bring up. So wild bees aren't the only option that farmers have for pollinating their crops. We need to acknowledge that. Honeybees, these managed bees, as you say, are the other option and a really, really widely used one, of course. It's unclear how populations of honeybees and wild bees interact. Some people think they compete. Some people think they don't. But I think the relevant point here is that our food system has sort of one major pollinator it's relying on, these managed honeybees. And that doesn't sound like a very resilient strategy to me.
I'm looking again at your map, these big swaths, Texas, Arizona, Washington. What happens to the crops if the bees decline?
Yeah, so I think that's really the question, is how is this going to affect farmers? I think those are the places, the ones you just listed and the ones lit up on our map, where we can expect there to be most likely inadequate pollination in the future. That's where it's going to happen probably first and most. And that can lead to inconsistent yields from farmers, lower yields, and rising costs if they have to replace these wild pollinators more and more with the rented, managed honeybees.
Well, plus, as we know, as we've been looking with alarm at the bee population for years now, we don't live if bees don't live.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, the value they produce for us and the way they underpin our lives is really quite impressive. About two-thirds of crops in the world require bees or other pollinators to set the crops for us. That's worth easily tens of billions globally. 2 or 3 billion at last count in the U.S. every year. And it includes some of the things that make eating fun, right? Mm-hmm. The fruits and veggies and blueberries and coffee and chocolate and a lot of the holiday fare as well, cranberries and pumpkins and apples and plums. So it underpins our diets and makes eating more fun.
That's Taylor Ricketts, director of the Gund Institute for Ecological Economics at the University of Vermont, co-author of a study that mapped out where bees are disappearing as crops are growing in the United States. Taylor, thanks so much.
Thanks very much.
Help bees plant flowers.